Thank you, Elder Saeed. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone out this morning. Thanks for those who are also watching us on social media. We know that today is, October 28th, and it's predicted to be how hot today? 83. So if you're new to South Carolina, welcome to South Carolina weather. Next week, it may be in the 40s. You never know. So this is what we have. But as a reminder, you know, things are in the world, things are just crazy. This is the 612th day of the war in Ukraine. And also, you know, this is the 22nd day that Hamas attacked Israel. So there's a lot going on. There's other wars that we don't even know about that are going on. So it's chaotic, but God's still in control, right? Amen. God is still in control. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again, Lord, for being our creator, being our redeemer, and being our friend. And no matter what goes on in this world, that you have seen the beginning to the end and everything in the middle. So Lord, give us the strength and the courage to continue to have faith in you and to stay on mission what you have us to do, Lord. Whatever it may be, each one of us have something individual that you have asked us to do. So Lord, we ask that we stay on task and stay on target. The things we ask and thank in Jesus' name, amen. So the title of the lesson is what? Choices, decisions, and outcomes. So you can kind of get an idea of what that is going to be. We have choices in front of us, we have decisions we have to make, and then there are outcomes based on what we do. And so decisions, we make them all the time, right? Some may be trivial, appear to be trivial, some may appear to be important, and some are life-changing. You know, what should I eat for breakfast? That's not too bad, it's a little trivial, but you know, depending on what you want, or what you have available. What should I wear to church? Should I be casual? Should I dress up? You know, that kind of thing. What courses should I take in school? You know, going to school, I'm taking these classes. Which one should I pick? What career path should I take? What should I go do? What talents have God endowed me with that I can use to his purpose? Should I read and study the Bible? That's an interesting one. Or maybe some other religious book. But here's a really important question. Should I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? That's life-changing. So let's look at some of the lives of the people in the Bible and see what choices they had before them and what decisions they made and what were some of the outcomes, whether they were good or bad. And if you're here for Sabbath school, Elder Saeed did an excellent job on the Sabbath school lesson, talking about Abraham and things he went through. So we're going to kind of touch on some other Bible characters too. So the first one I want to talk about is Noah. We know Noah, books in the Old Testament time period, and he was given a command to do what? To do what? To build an ark. Exactly. He was to build an ark. He was to do what for the people? Preach repentance. To let the people know that this earth that we're on is going to be destroyed by a worldwide flood. And he was also to do what? To save a small representation of the animals. They came on the ark and he saved them. So just imagine Noah's dilemma. It never rained before. God had watered the earth through a mist that came up from the ground. You go back and read it in Genesis, it says that. It never rained before. So Noah's telling these people, it's going to rain. People are like, what? Rain? What's that? It's never rained before. No, you done lost your mind. And now he's building this huge ark in the middle of nowhere for this rain that's supposed to happen. So Noah had a pretty big dilemma. Joseph. Joseph, we know that story. He was what? Sold into slavery. by his own brothers. I mean, I know you got disputes. You do things your brothers and sisters don't like, but to sell you into slavery? Wow, okay. And so while in Egypt, he was what? He was thrown in prison. A lot of bad stuff happened. He was accused falsely by Potiphar's wife. But by God's grace, he did some amazing things. He had the, you know, the wine taster and the baker, and he predicted what would happen to each of them. What God told him, and he just relayed the message, basically. So because of his faithful abiding by what God had told him, God used him to do what? He not only, because of the famine, a famine came in the country, right? And because he listened to what God said, and because he had been obedient, he got promoted, and God allowed him to be able to save not only Egypt, but what? His own family and his nation. He said, hey, come on, you go into the land of Goshen. You throw this for Egypt? Here, you got this all to yourself, you and your family. You are good. I'm going to take care of you. Abram was given a command, and we studied Abraham, but initially it was Abram. So Abram was given a command to do what? Leave his homeland and travel somewhere that he had no idea. God said, okay, I want you to get up, pack your bags, and go this direction. He didn't say go over to, you know, Egypt. He didn't say you're going to Africa. He didn't say you're going to Italy. He just said, get up and go this way. And when you get there, I'll tell you. I mean, who does that? Who does that? But people, we do that in some degrees. We change jobs. We go someplace that we don't know what's going to happen. So we do that to some degree. But for Abram, that was just amazing. Like as I mentioned, it wasn't just him leaving, but he had to give up his inheritance that he would have from his father, all the stuff, his family. I mean, there's no reunion when you're gone. There's no, okay, we're going to come back, have a family reunion and see, you know, that's not going to happen. So he did a lot. He had a lot of faith. He trusted God, and not only him, but it was his wife with him, right? His wife probably thinking, you want to do what? Go where? Are you sure, Abram? Are you sure? I could just imagine she's asking these questions. But he trusted God, and he embarked on this journey with his wife. Now, you know the story. He made some mistakes along the way, but he completed his mission. He stayed on target. And you know the rest is history. Jonah's a strange character. So Jonah was given a command to do what? He was supposed to go preach repentance to who? To the city of Nineveh, who were the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were who to the Israelites? It was their enemies. So I can kind of see Jonah having some trepidation, you know, and they were notorious for just, I mean, they were like barbarian. They would just kill you just for looking at you, you know. So God says, go preach repentance to the Assyrians, your enemy. But here's, you know, funny part. Jonah is a prophet, but what does he tell God? He says, nope, I'm going this way, the opposite direction. Can you imagine that? Here's one of God's prophets, one of God's servants, and he's telling God, no. In fact, not just no, but I'm going the other way, the opposite direction. But we know the story. God did some intervening events in Jonah's life, and Jonah, and here's the funny part, it came to me last night, I was putting this together. He was supposed to be going to Nineveh to tell them to repent, but he had to repent to God before he went. So that God's got a sense of humor. So, but then he went on and he accomplished his mission. That's key. So those are four people I want to talk about just briefly. So what characteristics did these men display, and what were some of the outcomes? So going back to Noah, I can't talk this morning. Noah displayed faith in the God he believed in. I mean, all the stuff going on around him, and God tells him to build this ark, it's gonna rain, but he trusted God. That's the key. He trusted God. He preached for, 120 years? But just imagine he's got the ark finished. He's sitting there. He's waiting for God's next command. And he sees what? He sees all the animals coming out the woods. And they're coming to the ark. Now, he didn't call them. They just started coming. He, you know, that had to encourage his faith. He's like, yeah, I built this ark. That's what God told me to do. And now I see these animals coming. That's confirmation. That's confirmation. So the outcome, because of his faithfulness and obedience, Noah saved who? His family and the animals. So when the waters receded, they could start everything back over again. Joseph displayed extreme faith and perseverance because being sold by your own brothers, now you're in this strange country, now you're thrown in prison, you're treated harshly, you're falsely accused, but Joseph remained faithful. He had been taught some good stuff, right? His parents taught him some good stuff. Now just imagine he's sitting there and then his brothers show up and now they're needing stuff because the famine's going on. And so he's happy to see them, but he's still, I mean, they sold this man into slavery. So he's still gonna have, I mean, we're all human, right? So he's still gonna have some issues. He's still gonna have some, maybe a little animosity, you know, but God worked through him with that. In the end, you know, he was really happy to see Benjamin. So Benjamin, he was like, yeah, there's Benjamin, okay, all right. So then, but the outcome, because of his faithfulness and obedience to what God had told him, what he had been taught, Joseph saved his nation and the nation of Egypt. Abram displayed extreme faith. Because like I said, he had to leave his homeland and go someplace. He had no idea where he was going. He didn't know what he was going to encounter along the way, what he was going to come up against, what they're going to run out of food, where they're going to find water, all these issues. But he trusted God, and he kept on. And we know his name got changed to Abraham, and he showed a full surrender. God was working with him all along the way, and he finally showed a full surrender to God by doing what? He offered up Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. And we know that does, what is that? That's a representation of who? Of Jesus, of Christ being offered up as our sacrifice. So Jonah, now Jonah, he displayed a little rebellion against God. We get that, you know, because he was supposed to go preach to Nineveh, but he didn't want to do it. But he changed his mind, and the compassion that he had, where did we see that? He's on the boat, a storm comes up, they're all about to get, you know, they're going to be killed. They're going to drown in this sea. They throw the cargo overboard, doesn't help, storm gets worse. He finally says, hey, look, guys, it's me. I'm the one why this storm is going on because I disobeyed God. So they throw him overboard, storm stops, and then we know what happens with the fish and everything. And he goes on to Nineveh, and he preaches. So the outcome, Jonah repents. Even though he's a man of God, he's a prophet, he still has some things he's got to work out. But he repents, goes to Nineveh, preaches, and the whole nation repents. From the king down, the whole nation repents, and God spares their lives. Now, if you do a little history reading, you find out later that Nineveh reverted back to their old ways and was later destroyed, but at that time, they did repent. So, you're probably asking me now, well, what's the point with all these men and what they went through? So, these men were what? Servants of God, right? All of us are servants of God as well. They had issues. We have issues. Anybody don't have any issues? I got issues. We all have issues. They had a mission to complete, and they had some problems. They all had different variations of faith, different varying degrees of faith. Some had stronger faith, some had weaker faith. They had issues. They were going through stuff. We're the same way. These people aren't idols to look up to. They are other human beings that we can relate to. So, but they got the job done. They completed the mission. And as we're studying in our Sabbath school lesson, it says, God's mission, my mission. And so I wanted to kind of tailor the sermon around this lesson, this quarterly, that when we look in the Bible, when we look at these characters, these servants of God, that they aren't someone that's out of reach. We can relate to them. We have some of the same things. I mean, you look at Jacob's family, all the issues he had going on. I mean, it's a wonder they even made it. But man, look what God did. So God can do the same for us. We have to be about his mission. So I want to say, for those who have accepted the mission that God has for us, I say amen. Let's press on to the prize that is before us. But for those who are in the valley of decision, those who are making right to decide, you know, I heard about this Christ, I heard about Jesus, but, you know, I'm not sure, you know, about this guy. You know, you say he's God, but, you know, I don't know. That's who this is for, really. Look at the people in the Bible. Study the Bible. Look at the choices that they had. Look at the decisions that they made. And look at the outcome as to what happened from the decisions that they made. Now, no one is saying that once you decide to accept Christ as your Savior, there's going to be a bed of roses. Nobody's saying that. I mean, roses have thorns, right? So this bed of roses isn't that comfortable. You can still get stuck. So we're not saying that. But any one of us out here in the audience can tell you stories about how God has intervened in their lives, in my life. You can't take that away. Once you've experienced something, you know what it is. And Jesus has said what? That he will never leave us nor forsake us. So here's the important message, important reason for this message. So we don't have forever to make this decision always, I mean also either. Okay, it's not a scare tactic, it's just point of fact. Bible prophecy has told us what? That one day Jesus is going to return to redeem this earth, okay? So, and even before he returns, there's this thing we know called probation. And once probation closes before he returns, that's it. Revelation says, let he who is holy be holy still, let who is unjust be unjust still. So you can see that there. And if we die before probation closes, before he returns, then that's it for us. I mean, that's the cutoff. There's no second chance. There's no coming back in the afterlife to have another chance at it. That's it. Your decision is done. That's it. So knowing about Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. You can know about Jesus. You can read him about him. You can study scripture. You can study prophecy. You can read history. I mean, that's just a history book if you know about him. We can know about Achilles. We can know about Troy. We can know about Nero. I mean, all these other people, those are history lessons. But Jesus, if it's just a history lesson for you, then that's not going to cut it. Knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, that is what God wants for us. He wants to be our Savior, our Lord, our Creator. He is our Creator, but he wants to recreate us, right? He wants to make us new so we can make it into the kingdom. I didn't have any scriptures except for one. Now, for those of us who are, and I'm closing now, for those of us who are Christians, I want to read Luke 10:20. And it talks about the 70 that went out and the things they were doing. They were casting out demons. And someone was a little high-minded and said, hey, look, we casting out demons. We telling the serpents to go away and they don't hurt us. Luke 10, verse 20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. So he said, don't brag about, you know, we got power over demons. But that's not you. That's God doing that. What he does say is, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So as Christians, our joy isn't that we have power over demons. Our joy is that we have accepted Christ as our Savior and that we want other people to have this same joy, to know that when we pass on or when Christ comes back, we're going to be with him forever. So there's a couple of questions I want to close with. So we're talking about choices, decisions, outcomes. So what would you decide if you haven't made a decision for Christ? You know, what will I decide? If you're a Christian now, are you going to remain a Christian? Are you going to fall away? The Old Testament talks about wicked and being wicked and then changing. God accepts them. But then if you are a follower of Christ and you decide, oh, I don't want to follow him anymore, God doesn't look at what you did in the past. He's looking at what you're doing now. We have influence over people, you know, things we say, things we do, how we carry ourselves. People look at us. And so we can influence other people to be a follower of Christ as well. So do we stay that way? Or do you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he's waiting. He will give us the power. If you haven't accepted Christ, he will give you the power to follow him, because it comes from him. Even when we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, he's already put that in us. He's enabling us to even do that. So it's all about Christ. Christ wants us to be with him in his kingdom. So that is my question for today, is will you accept God's mission that he has for you? Amen. Thank you.